Well, Mike, you want to go get some pass rush? The Commanders are releasing. This is Dan Quinn, by the way. 19th overall pick in 2021 draft. Jermaine Davis heads to waivers, defensive end. I mean, listen, I'm throwing it out there and I'm being facetious. Here's the deal. Guys, anybody worth having, teams are going to hold on to. And anybody worth trading for is going to cost you at least a couple of draft picks, potentially, if you're talking about the top-tier guys. So for us, as we'll get back into this as we talk about the Falcons, everybody that needs it, and I think the team that really feels like they're willing to go all out is the Lions. I think the Lions would be willing, where they are offensively, Mike, where that team is, where they were last year, if they gave up two picks right now to go get a help for Aiden Hutchinson.
Right.
I think they don't care because they feel like they're there.
Right. And then you decide, you know, what's your pain threshold because you feel like that team should have been in the Super Bowl last year. If Campbell doesn't make some of those, you know, bad strategy moves in the NFC Championship,
yep,
they're in there. And probably would have done better than Purdy, but it's just, yeah, Max Crosby, everybody keeps talking about. The Raiders seem to be softening their position, according to Sporting News. Myles Garrett, Cleveland maybe just has to blow it up and just, you know, take their medicine and go restock. And it'll just be what it'll be. And then there's, you know, do you feel that if you're a team looking for a receiver, we heard earlier today Cooper Kupp, the Rams are fielding, they want a second rounder for Cooper Kupp. So maybe, I think you and I, when we were younger, you never really saw a lot of big moves at the trade deadline. We're getting more and more now lately, last couple of years in the NFL.
Well,
not like baseball or the NBA, but still is ramping up.
Well, I just think that teams, these younger general managers are not reluctant to make the moves. Where, you know, you had a lot of guys who have been in the game for a long time, Mike, and this is our team and we don't make changes and we'll stay the course. I feel like, you know, in this day and age, like you're seeing a lot of young general managers not willing or are willing to make these moves and roll the dice.
Blank those picks, less need.
Correct.
You know?
Correct. Total example. So more on this coming up as we'll talk about the Falcons. We'll talk about what Raheem Morris is talking about as far as getting ready for Tampa. If you missed it last night, the news with Tampa, and it has nothing to do with us, but it will affect us Sunday. They are going to be without both starting wide receivers. I just don't see Mike Evans coming back from the way he walked off the field last night with a hammy. And then Godwin is done. And it's a shame, Mike, because, again, they're saying that this was a hip drop tackle. And people out there are saying, go look at it. This is why the NFL banned it, and this is why this injury happened.
Well, then I guess somebody's going to get fined $250,000. I mean, what are you going to throw out there? I mean, how much money are we talking about? The refs in real time. That's why a lot of folks said, how are they going to be able to enforce this rule without maybe it's going to be one that will be reviewed, and you'll get that hit later in the week. Bucks, by the way, are not planning on putting Evans on the IR, according to our buddy Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times.
All right.
There's a chance he could return after the bye week around Thanksgiving, November 24th game against the Giants. So he's going to at least see, but he is definitely out for our game, KC San Francisco. He's going to miss at least three games, is Mike Evans. And you already mentioned that Godwin is out. He, you know, by the way, gutsy move. I mean, I know a lot of us would be like, you know, at this stage of his career, I'd be like crying like a baby, but he's out there basically, I'll be back, you know, and the crowd was feeding off his energy as they rolled him off the field.
No doubt. Tom Brady doesn't win a Super Bowl without those guys, and Baker Mayfield is not going to be the same guy without those guys either.
So do they call for Cooper Kupp?
Maybe. Now, all of a sudden, the market has changed, right? I mean, this is why these situations play out. I think the Steelers still are chasing a wide receiver, Mike.
Also, guys, and there was a few other injuries. One of their defensive backs got a concussion as well. Is it the concussion protocol? So there's a lot of stuff that's going on down in Tampa Bay. So it's funny, Carl and I were joking around. I said on Monday's show, let's hope that Ravens soften them up for us. I didn't realize they would literally be putting guys in ambulances, and that's what happened.
Yeah, a lot of guys went down last night. More on this coming up right now. Let's talk some dogs. Master P said, it ain't my fault. Maybe that is what Carson Beck is saying. Because they've got to fix the passing game. But they also have to fix the drops. And whether it's Dylan Bell or Lawson Lucky or Humphreys or Dominic Lovett, all these guys had big drops against Texas.
Right. I mean, Carson Beck, if you just watch the box score, and of course you watch the game, but you'd say, man, Carson Beck's got to be better. They did not help him out. He put the ball on schedule in people's hands, and they could not bring it in. So that's part of the entire story, but of course we focus on all those turnovers.
We do. Three picks, and here's the issue with Carson Beck. Even if he says, it ain't my fault, three times in the past four games you've had multiple pick games. That's an issue. So you're talking about three times in the past four games, this is kind of where you're living. Mike, you're turning it over too much. Again, this didn't come back to bite you in this game, but you can't continue to do that. Beck, 23 of 41 against Texas, 175 yards. But let's be clear, the drops played a role. Kirby even said as much as he's like, I don't know if we could be more comical with these drops after the game. So The interceptions are one thing, but Mike, how do you fix this passing game? And again, if he's delivering the ball where it needs to be and these guys are dropping it, you can't put that on Carson Beck.
That's where, you know, as we said, you know, there's certain things, if you watch the whole game, it wasn't his fault now, but he's still got to be better with the football. He's just got to make better decisions. Some of these, you know, some of those throws were just, it's just not where the ball needs to be. Bobo's got to tighten that up. And it's also hurting his draft stock to a degree. You know, I mean, at some point, people are going to say, you know, what are you a turnover machine? He's won the game. The good news is, unless Nico really tightens up, I am a lever down there up in Tennessee. He and David Pollack told us about this last week. You know, they're winning kind of despite him. He's been very inconsistent. He's kind of, they've ran the ball more in Tennessee. I was thinking that would be a tough one. That was in Knoxville, maybe. I think you certainly get by Tennessee. I think you get by Florida, despite the fact you're going to lose two defenders for the first half of the game thanks to the stupid targeting rules.
Yeah.
But it's hard to see. Maybe Missouri. But Missouri plays kind of funny. Like they sleptwalked for the first half against Auburn. I know it was an 11 o'clock start, and they eventually came roaring back. But it's hard to see Georgia not running it, even with Carson Beck being a little sloppy with the football. If this defense plays like it did on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, what we're laying out for you is the two biggest challenges maybe left on the schedule, right? They're going to be favorite now moving forward in every game. The 24-17 win Tennessee at home against Alabama was big because it keeps them alive.
Again. They have to go to Oxford, but if they play that same level of defensive intensity, there's no way that Jackson Dart or anybody at Ole Miss can handle that.
No, totally agree. 404-726-0929. Follow us, guys, on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station, 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. Coming up, Falcon Report at 5 o'clock. And we will also get some guy talk coming up a little bit later on this hour. As we're talking about college football, the new rankings are out. We kind of broke it down for you guys. Next week, Tuesday, the playoff committee will meet, and Mike will start to get these playoff committee rankings, which are the ones that really matter, guys. That's going to be the 12. Their final 12 is what's going to matter. But right now, Georgia is 2 in the country behind Oregon. And I said, maybe it was Turtle yesterday. I was like, are Oregon, Georgia in the national championship? Dan Lanning. Remember, he came here his first year and got destroyed.
Oh, they took a whooping. I mean, that was an absolute beatdown in the perfect season. Yeah. Tuesday, November 5th, and then they go six. They have six more of these drops as far as the rankings until December 8th. That's the Sunday after the conference championship weekend.
All right. So Penn State, Ohio State, Texas. That's what we're looking at. I think Texas is 6 in the coaches' poll. Miami is still unbeaten, Mike. But if you were to ask me, and this is the point that Mike makes a lot, like right now, okay, we're 8 weeks in. All these teams you're not only familiar with, you're like, okay, this looks very, this kind of looks like what I thought it would. If I told you right now, it'd be Clemson, Tennessee, LSU, Texas, Miami, Ohio State, all these teams in the playoffs, I'm all for it. The problem is you've got unbeatens that are outside of the top 12 right now that still have a chance, okay, they got to win out. And we'll see how these conference championships play out. But, Mike, let's just put it in perspective. Penn State plays Ohio State, or Oregon plays Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. Oregon loses. Both are still in, and it's just who's crowned the conference champ.
I mean, like, you know the drill. You know, in the years that they would play Ohio State and Michigan, Penn State would probably drop one of both. You know, they'd win 10 games, and, you know, Coach Franklin gets to take him to a Rose Bowl or whatever. In this case, at Wisconsin, they'll win that one. Then at Ohio State, or Ohio State comes to Happy Valley. They got to go to Washington, Purdue, which is scoring some points, but still. This is maybe Franklin's best year.
Yes, it is.
With the best quarterback, you know, that he's – I mean, if you go back – I have to watch a little bit of this because my in-laws are Penn State and Pitt, but, I mean – LR is really good. I mean, he makes good decisions, and he's an athletic. 11 touchdowns, 4 picks. But certainly, and they've got two guys that can run the football. They got athletes. And you mentioned earlier in the show, they got two great edge rushers. Penn State's got the nice package.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of, do they choke it? Because we're kind of conditioned to expect them to just gack it in their biggest tests in the Big Ten schedule.
So if it started today, Notre Dame would play at Texas. BYU would play at Miami. Iowa State, who's undefeated, would play at Tennessee. And Clemson would play at LSU. That's what it would look like.
How much fun is that?
It's great. It's great. And then those top four teams, as of right now, if it was to start today, and it doesn't, Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, buys, right? Because let's assume they would win. We know that's not going to be the case because Oregon and Ohio State are in the Big Ten. But they win their conference championship. Somebody's going to move up. Mike, I actually think it may be Clemson or Miami. Obviously, whoever wins the ACC is going to be one of those top four teams.
And as we know, guys, or you don't know, Clemson doesn't play Miami on the schedule. They would play because, you know, no more divisions in the ACC, just 1-2 up in Charlotte. So if Clemson keeps winning out, wouldn't that be something? You know, I mean, Cam Ward going up. By the way, Florida State went into the Hard Rock a couple years ago, put 45 on Miami, threw the quarterback in the air. I wouldn't put it out of the realm of the impossible that the Canes dropped 60 on Florida State at the Hard Rock on Saturday night.
Well, they're scoring a lot. I mean, we saw that. Louisville gave them a big challenge last week, but they're scoring a lot of points. And Florida State is terrible.
Yeah, and they've gone with the back. The kid, Cronhook, the kid from Benedictine, is the kid they should be going with, the true freshman. Get him the reps and let him, because I think he's got more upside. He came in, he put the first throw, if you didn't see the game in Duke.
I didn't see the game.
50 yards, no reason to. But 50, no, but he drops a bomb 50 yards into the wide receiver's hands, and he drops the ball.
I am joking. I picked him in the pick'em segment, so right. I'm joking with you.
No, but I just, there's, look, Norvell. You can't get rid of them, guys. Florida State has no money. Miami is going to kick the ever-living crap out of Florida State because one of the great rivalries in college football doesn't mean anything to a bunch of leaderless mercenaries, Carl.
Coming up, we got to talk some NFL football. He's the best player in the NFL. And what if I told you we could have had him? It's Dukes and Bell. Ice. It is Dukes and Bell. This hour, again, brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. 5 o'clock hour straight ahead. Mike and I are done at 6:30 for Atlanta United. Playoff matchup, wild card matchup tonight in Montreal.
Listen to Mike and Jason with the call, of course, right here. It's on Apple, by the way, Apple TV, if you have that package for MLS.
All right, cool. Mike, I was going to talk about Lamar and his performance last night, but I just saw this, and I want to kind of address it because it affects Georgia. It affects college football. Greg Sankey, along with the Texas president, his name is Jay Hartzell, continue to talk about the two superpowers, the Big Ten and the SEC, playing multiple games moving forward against each other. And this is a big deal because Texas's president says the movement, this is a direct quote, the movement in the economic setting around college sports is widening the gap between the haves and the have-nots. Just look at what happened, you know, Texas-Georgia game on Saturday. Whether it's a good or bad thing, it's happening. So what we're talking about here, potentially, the layout is 12 to 14 games, okay, between the Big Ten and the SEC. We're talking about the powerhouses playing each other during the regular season and doing away, Mike, with these other pre-conference scheduled games. Mm. Now, it's going to take a minute for some of these games, for them to get out of it, but this is where this thing is headed. And this is being reported that, they're talking 12, 14, 16 games, whatever it's going to be. But instead of Georgia playing three games against Sisters of the Poor, Mike, it would be potentially against Big Ten teams.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this. Remember a couple of years back when Mark Richt was there, they went out and they played like Colorado. Colorado did a home-and-home. They played Arizona State. I mean, I'd rather see that. I'd rather see some bigger, with all due respect, I know that, it's a tough time to be a Georgia State or a Kennesaw State or a Georgia Southern, but it just, I think fans, especially boosters, I think you just want to see the big dogs play, and you want to see that nine-game conference schedule along with the out-of-conference killer schedule. I love it.
The two conferences, we're talking about the Big Ten and the SEC, combined will get a 58% of the college football playoff revenue beginning in 2026. So they are sitting atop the hill, and they are saying, all right, how do we even make this better? And Greg Sankey is also involved in this heavily, guys. So, Mike, I don't know when this starts or how soon, but the fact that they're talking about it, this is where we're headed. And why not? Would you rather see those games versus what you're getting?
Yeah. I mean, as we said, it's sort of been, for lack of a better word, the welfare system for the small schools. They get their $1 million or $1.1 million check to go to Tennessee or whatever. And sometimes Georgia State will pull off a big win. I'm not trying to diminish the accomplishments, but it is what it is. This has always been hurtling down this road, Carl. You and I have been on this for 10 years. Call it your Super 75, however it's going to move forward, and we'll figure out the moving parts. But I love it. I think right now you got your conferences. It's not that complicated. Everybody plays everybody. The one thing the SEC does need to do, and that will come with a new ESPN deal, is they've got to get to that nine-game conference schedule.
All right, so here's my concern, though, and I think Kirby would be concerned and anybody else in the SEC. Look at Georgia's schedule, first and foremost. And now you're adding two more Big Ten teams to that. Are you serious
right now? I mean, some of those teams might be Northwestern and, those in Arizona. It's not going to all be killed, but I know what you mean. But now, and by the way, this is the first year of the 12 team, and maybe the last year of the 12 teams, we're probably going to go to 16
all
teams.
All right. So
this thing, before you know it, Carl, it's going to literally be like, just look like March Madness.
It will be. And by the way, if they go to 20 teams, then I'm willing to do that schedule. I'm not willing to do it at 12. Because it hurts my ability to potentially be in the playoff. Mike, there's no coach in his right mind that's going to say, why would I hurt myself trying to make the playoff when now you're making my schedule more difficult? Expand it gives me more opportunity to be in it. That's my only beef. As far as anything else is concerned, guys, this is where we're headed.
But you can also kind of maybe you take a page out of the NFL and have the schedule makers make this, and you have and some authority will be doing this, whoever's like the conference czar, you know. And so you're at a conference this year is Boston College. You know what I mean? I mean, there's ways to do it, and as you go, but you're always going to have some big marquee games early in the year. I get that, but you're right. I mean, that would be the rub for coaches saying, "Look, I don't want to go through a juggernaut every year." But I think fans want to see better football, and the networks want to see better football because you know we get to that the worst week in college football, the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
when everybody's playing the Patsies, that's you want to see that go away.
Yeah, well, because they have their big rivalry games that next weekend. That's I mean, part of that is we got to Michigan's not going to play a powerhouse before they play
Ohio
State.
But I'm saying, but there is a way you can still get a better game without, you know, sacrificing, you know, I'm playing this, you know, everybody's a ranked opponent. But you could kind of envision, you know, there are schools that even though they're in the Power Five, they're still opponents that you'd be cool playing. Because right now, I mean, let's be honest, there's a bunch of schools in the ACC that some people are saying they don't even deserve to be in this next big giant conference if it does come to be.
Well, you guys like this, 404-726-0929. You can text us. Hit us up on social media as well. Schools in both conferences, we're talking about the Big Ten and the SEC, already have several Power Four non-conference opponents. For example, right, Texas already played both Ohio State and Michigan in a home and home. Those matchups go through 2027. Okay, so do you just add to that? Do you do away with that? Reschedule it? Texas won the Michigan matchup. We know that, but I'm just saying those are the kind of things they're talking about as we move forward. I don't know, Mike. Again, my only concern, and it's my team. If it's my team, I do not want to play nine straight. You know, rough games. There's a reason why these coaches put these games in between to give their kids a break. We could say it's silly and all of that, but, you know, hell, Georgia's off the week before Florida. It's been that way for years.
Right. Well, guess what? Here's your juggernaut next year for out of conference for Georgia. A Marshall, Austin Peay, and Charlotte.
Oh!
And, of course, the rivalry game with Tech.
That's terrible.
That's what I'm talking. I mean, look, I get it. I understand the argument. But as a fan, you know, and when your team has got things cooking, when the train is on the tracks and you're on the rails, let's play the best. Let's play the best teams out there. And if you balance it out with some kind of schedule czar so you can find some other. But let's get, with all due respect to the Marshalls and the Austin Peays and the Charlottes, well, I don't want to pay for that if I'm a Georgia booster.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, it is. And these schedules get done 5-6 years in advance, right, by the way. So it's not like, you know, they just did this. But that's part of this discussion. All right, want to hear from you guys. As college football, again, they're just talking about this. But the FBS commissioners have to decide to whether wait after this season, after the first team playoff, you know, 12-team playoff, which is what Mike was talking about, to decide which way they want to go. But I think this is a real possibility. And that's a lot of games, by the way. You got to think about all the teams. You're talking about 12 games, so it's not one team playing that. It's a multitude of teams from both conferences, but that's what you would get over the course of the season.
Hey, real quick, while we're talking about you know, Georgia's schedule, you know, I know Kirby still wants to do the home and home. He loves the idea of having, you know, the Georgia-Florida game not in Jacksonville. All of a sudden, Billy Napier's got a job, right? Billy Napier's doing okay.
I think so.
I mean, are they going to move off him in the offseason?
Well, I say that, Mike. Does he lose to Georgia and then get embarrassed the rest of the way? I mean, nobody knows how that plays out, but right now it looks like he saved his job.
I mean, at 4-3 with wins over, you know, a good UCF team. You know, Miss State is what it is. They did get throttled by Miami, and, you know, Kentucky did beat him. But, yeah, I don't know. Now, the problem is, to your point, it doesn't get much easier. No. It's the toughest schedule. They could get smoked by Dogs, the Longhorns. They play LSU, Ole Miss. They'll likely beat Florida State. That game's in Tallahassee this year.
But there you go. If you get humiliated 3 weeks in a row, you look not. And this is the thing. If your team looks non-competitive, which is the reason why we started this conversation at the beginning of the year, Miami blew doors. They didn't even look competitive. And everybody said, what the hell's going on with Florida? If that happens 3 weeks in a row and you already have this looming over your head,
how bad do you lose? That's basically it. But I do think at least he's bought him a little bit of breathing room. The collar isn't as tight, but you're right. It's still a short leash for the Gators.
No doubt. All right, guys. We've got Guy Talk on the way. Also, we are going to get back to the Falcons as they start preparation for the Bucs. Bucs dealing with a bunch of injuries. Mike mentioned it. Mike Evans expected to be out until after week 11. So that's the hamstring injury. He will not play Sunday. And we know Godwin is out. So they are without both of their starting wide receivers. It does not mean anything to me because I take nothing for granted.
And rookie Tyke Smith being evaluated for a concussion as well in that secondary. So there's a lot of stuff going on down there at One Buccaneer Place.
All right. What's coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
I mean, I got a couple of things. Speaking of the game last night, if you didn't see this, it was very fast. You have to rewind and check it out. What was Baker Mayfield doing on the sideline?
Huh?
Yeah, explain that. And I got to be honest, a guy that I used to kill on the radio, And I got to be honest, he's kind of won me over and other sports fans. I'll tell you who that is coming up next in Guy Talk.
Pick the day, and you are more than welcome to come in and sit in this seat.
I kind of think I screwed up because now I got to go work.
5 hour show, Steve. Yeah, we don't mail it in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I started bragging Sunday morning, and the light bulb went off in my head. It's like, damn, that's hard work.
It is.
But I figured if Mike could do it, I could do it.
That's true. But we do have that. Again, we have a conference call. We have all these meetings. A lot of things that go on behind the scenes, Carl.
Well, it's like being Coonan.
It sounds dreadful. I do that all day.
It's like being Coonan.
Now, when I say conference call, it only lasts about 4 minutes, but a conference call nonetheless.
This is correct.
I got it.
Steve.
I just wanted to let you know I'm ready to come to work.
Okay. All right.
That, I'm really kind of very sorry that
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. Sorry that we kicked you out. No, you are horrible.
By the way, how were you like most Georgia fans? I mean, you know, you obviously had a little bit of nervousness going into it, Steve. But then as you watch that game develop, and every time Beck would turn it over, the defense would come right back and get Texas off the field.
If you played back our show on Friday, you would hear how I said we play to the competition and the defense would prevail. And getting Michael's back and getting, I just butchered his name, Williams unleashed.
Now, you're going to have to tighten that up, Steve. You're going to have to tighten that up. We have a guy. We already have a guy on it. We already have a guy on the station who does that, okay?
I'm trying to get fired because I don't want to work that
hard. No, but you're going to have to put some craft. I mean, you might have to get together with your son and practice, and then with Puffy K and Bell one day.
Now
I'm clinically depressed.
No.
Go work.
You said Friday you made a bold prediction, very Nostradamus-like, that Georgia would win the game, and you you've got a future in this. I can't wait to actually hear you on the air with Mike. I'm actually looking forward to a day off now.
Right, you get a day off, and I got to go to work.
Yeah.
I'm the winner.
I like it.
I think
now
you actually won.
This is true.
Well, we were looking forward to seeing Carl.
Can I play at your country club that day?
I was going to say, what? Can you do something Coonan? Well, no, you lost the bet. I don't think you get any privileges on this one.
Wait, I know. I'm asking you.
Yeah, he got a day off with pay. Yeah. We're going to have to think about this. We're going to have to think about, like, I'm going to sub without telling you. I'll show up and you're, dismissed.
No. You're going to pay off the debt you won, and one day we'll sync it up when Carl's on vacation. You will come in.
No. He can come in any day I'm here. Day he wants.
We will talk to our supervisor, Mike Conti, and we will set this up. And Mr. Voice will do the liners, Puffy K and Bell.
Any day he wants. Preferably Monday.
All right.
Hey, Steve.
Why don't you call me when you've been out of town and don't feel like going?
Yeah, exactly. Don't feel like coming in.
Right.
Steve, thank you so much, man. By the way, Hawks opener tomorrow night, guys, by the way. And we've been talking about it. Clint Capella came on the show, but we made that bet with Steve on Friday, and I guess he just had to call in and bust balls.
Literally, we didn't know. It's pretty funny. And that's a bet. So there you go. You would have been lighting, cigars with $100 bills sitting in Steve's office
you
to see
you. I have no idea. Man, come on. I would have my gaiters on. I mean, my feet on his desk.
And
it
I said,
on.
If you missed Friday's show, I said, and Carl was going to make an executive decision, you'd call Nike and say, look, we're wearing those MLK jerseys every fifth day.
Yes.
And that's it? And you're going to deal with it?
Oh, right. There would have been. He would have got back to work and been like, who made these changes?
Right. Should have gotten us some free shoes, Carl.
Would have done that easily.
One day, just all the shoes would have been gone.
Would have done that easily.
We would have replaced the t-shirt cannon with a hot dog cannon. Boom.
We would add all that stuff. So thanks to Steve Coonan. All right, Mike, back to Guy Talk, my friend.
Hey, man. Again, we'll be up at Falcons tomorrow, guys. You'll hear us with Coach Ra. Hey, I was joking around with Carl off the air and then before the last break. I used to hate Joe Buck. Joe Buck, to me, I always felt like, oh, total nepotism. And he got the job and he was so smug and just, ugh. And it all kind of started to change for me when he was on the show Brockmire. Remember the Hank Azaria show about the fictitious play-by-play announcer that had all these issues? And that kind of, Joe said some things that are very un-Joe Buck. Like from the persona he would sort of portray nationally on TV. Well, he's gotten looser and looser. Last night, if you didn't see the Monday Night Football game, Joe's basically hanging out downtown Tampa Bay, the Inner Harbor area, and decides to go rent a jet ski. Well, the video goes on the broadcast. I thought it was hysterical. It was kind of fun. Joe was just saying, I've got to be in a lobby wearing a suit in an hour. Troy's going to get mad at me if I'm late. Ah, screw him. And he's basically tooling around downtown Tampa, right by Tom Brady's old house, for instance, a bunch of cool things he was doing on the jet ski.
Listen, this is what we're talking about, right? You want to get inside and hopefully learn a little bit more about these guys. He's a terrific broadcaster. But to Mike's point, you feel like, or maybe you have over the years, that part of it hasn't been part of his persona.
Right.
And so now, Mike, it does feel like, since he's going to ESPN, to be honest with you, I mean, like him and Troy, once they made that move, I don't know what it was. It was like, hey, they paid us a lot of money.
Let's have fun.
Yes, let's have fun.
Because it used to be like, I'm Joe, he's Troy, our lives are just better than yours. But now it just seems to be, I don't know. I've definitely come around. I've done a 180 when it comes to Joe Buck. Baker Mayfield last night, if you didn't see it, a lot of folks caught it because somebody said, wait a minute, what's going on? Let me rewind the TV and check that out. He's on the sideline and little pinch between the cheek and gums goes with one of those little Zen packets.
Oh.
Which I'm not sure. I didn't know if there's a rule for the NFL with smokeless tobacco. I know baseball is cut down on dip. You can't do that no more, right? It's only chewing gum and sunflower
seeds.
That's
correct. Yeah. Great Tony Gwynn unfortunately passed because of that. Right. There have been other guys who've dealt with cancer. I just feel like, Mike, I didn't see it, but when you said this to me, I was like, really? He did that? Kind of out in the open?
Number of folks saw him on the sideline, and the first and last time I dipped and I tried, it was the Skull Bandits, which are like a bigger version of what the Zen is. But anyway, I told you the story. I swallowed it. I stole second base in a game for Wanto High School, and I threw up all over the umpire's shoes. It was a very bad experience. Turned green. But yeah, so he was apparently a little nicotine buzz. I wonder if there's any recourse from the league, or who cares? I mean, personally, I don't care. You know, somebody always gets their panties in a twist when tobacco is involved in pro sports.
Let's be honest. I mean, if he pulled out a cigarette and did that, right, people would be like, really? I mean, it'd be a different reaction. But, yeah, I did not see it, but I'm surprised that he did it out in the open. There are a lot more guys who you guys don't know about that actually dip.
Right.
That they just don't reveal it. But in a game? Okay.
Yeah, game on the sideline. Famously, you know, when I used to sit when we had tickets at Shea when I was a kid, I don't know if you guys were lucky enough back in the day, before the whole expensive thing buying home plate, back in the old days you could afford home plate tickets, you could see into the dugouts, and you could see guys with cigarettes. Hernandez used to be puffing away. A lot of guys with a heater. Jim Leland used to smoke like a maniac in the dugout.
All the time. Mike, even when I started covering baseball 20-some-odd years ago, guys were drinking in the clubhouse like it was on a big deal. I mean, that was just part of it. I say drinking, not a beer.
Right, drink.
Hard liquor.
Right.
And I can only imagine what it was like in the 70s and 80s
right,
when it was a completely different world. So, it's a lot of stuff like that goes on, but I'm a little surprised. Did you know Baker dipped?
No, I didn't know. He's Texas boy, right?
He is. Yeah. Austin.
So, yep, just a pinch between the cheek and gums.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about Bill Belichick and his much younger girlfriend, Jordan Hudson. She is 24. Of course, coach is 72. Pretty funny video that's out there. You can Google it. Just be searching it. It is Bill Belichick posing with employees on the outskirts of a six-acre corn maze dedicated to Belichick's coaching career. There's a corn maze. He's standing next to the picture of it. What it looks like if you've got a drone or you're in an airplane or helicopter, it's him in a hoodie with Super Bowl trophies surrounding him in a corn maze.
Wow. Although that would seem cool. I like those things. I kind of like those corn mazes, haunted houses, all that stuff during Halloween. Right. But sometimes it'll freak you out. I've heard people get in these corn mazes and they can't get out, and they start screaming and doing all kind of stuff, and they have to go get them. It'll mess with your head, man.
He sent it to the West End Creamery, best farm in New England. Bill Belichick, 8-time Super Bowl champion. Talking about his 2 with the Giants, of course, his 6 with the Pats. And then there's a lovely photo with him with his lovely girlfriend in front of a lighthouse as the sun is setting over New England. Somebody said on social media today, I had to laugh, and go, I wonder if Belichick's family is all like jealous and all the things they never got to do with dad in the fall because he was busy winning Super Bowls.
It's true. And now he's doing all the things with, what's her name, by the way? What's her name?
That is the very lovely Ms. Hudson. Her name is it Jordan Hudson? Is that, that's
maybe it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
Yep, that's her.
Okay.
Jordan Hudson.
Okay. Yeah, because I've seen the pictures, but I
always say the same joke, but I give her dad like, look, if you're going to date this guy, can at least get some tickets out of him. He's not even coaching anymore. And then finally, one of the things that drives Carl and I and most of you guys who travel for work and air travel just drive you crazy, the people that sort of sneak up towards the front of the gate and they don't have the pass or they don't have the clearance or the section to be up there at the front. Well, American Airlines is now experimenting in select markets, including Chicago and Detroit, with a new feature. When you go to scan your phone up there on the infrared, it'll go womp, womp.
Oh, not your turn.
I don't know what it's going to sound like, but it's going to be like, hey, knucklehead, back in line.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not zone 1, you're zone 3, you dummy. So,
I like that.
I like it. So let's shame people that are too, let's be honest, just not courteous and just selfish for getting in the way and blocking up the works.
I love it. I wish that was happening on every airline, to be quite honest
with
you.
You and me both, partner.
Yeah. Hey, man, we've got tickets for you, a pair right now to win, your chance to win. Going to Winterfest. You're asking, what is Winterfest?
What's Winterfest?
Well, it's the All White Affair Volume 2 concert starring Escape, BBD, Q Parker and Friends. Guys, if this is in your wheelhouse, Soul for Real, Silk, it's going down December 20th, 8 o'clock at State Farm Arena. It's going to be cool. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com right now. But we got a pair for you at 404-726-0929. Caller 6 is going to get them. Caller 6 gets a pair of tickets to Winterfest. We're going to have some more tickets throughout the course of the week to give you as well. Falcon Report's on the way. We'll get you caught up on the latest injuries with our next opponent because it will affect Sunday's matchup. Also, the strong arm story of the day and more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.